morning. Good morning. So wonderful to see everybody gathered together. Our time of worship right before Christmas. As we continue to celebrate Christmas, I would like to welcome everybody here to our worship service. If you are a guest with us, whether this is your first time or you've been several times, we are excited that you are here with us. And we would love to have some information about you so we can hopefully provide you with some more information about us. That's why we have guest cards that are located right in front of you. If you could fill that out and place it in the offering plate when it comes around, we would love to be able to share a little bit more information. Several things to make sure we're aware of before our worship begins. The youth lockout, which is a week from tomorrow, I need that money today, all right? And the chili cook-off, out in the atrium, you'll see a sign-up. We've had several who have signed up, and a lot more who have told me they're going to participate in that. The Saturday in January, January 10th, that will be a part of our sled day that has been just a huge success from all the hard work of all our leaders. This is open for the whole church to come out that Saturday afternoon and be a part of everything going on. Make sure you're aware of that. Tonight, we have our chancel choir cantata. Very excited about all the preparation that has gone into that. 7 p.m. I hope the sanctuary is packed once again tonight. And directly following the cantata, we're going to celebrate and make sure that we are treating our choir with some food afterwards. And we've asked them not to bring any food. So we can kind of see where this is going. We can see that we're asking you all to bring some food, if you could, to help celebrate all the hard work and the way they're going to lead us in worship tonight directly following the cantata. A couple other things. Dorcas will not meet tomorrow, but will meet next Monday. And don't forget our Christmas Eve service at 7 p.m., a wonderful time to celebrate Christmas right before Christmas Day. And lastly, we have a lot of Christmas cards that have been shared throughout the entire congregation in the smaller kitchen on this side. Make sure to go ahead and pick those up when you leave today. Are there any other announcements we have before worship? All right, now we can begin. Let's bow our heads by having a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for this time where you've called us together to continue to celebrate Christmas. God, we are excited to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are always excited to be in your presence as we worship. Guide us this morning, clearing our hearts from distraction, from any of the busyness, the stress, any of the suffering that may be going on from so many different things that are upon us right now, Lord, we want to clearly listen to how you are breathing through us and teaching us to worship you, love you, and be loved by you. May that love guide us this week ahead. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let's spend several moments in quiet preparing our hearts for worship.
Today we light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle of seeking and finding. The wise men or magi, as they are sometimes called, were highly educated astrologers who saw a star in the sky that everyone else saw, but did not realize its significance. That is the message of Christmas, isn't it? Isn't it to see everyone else sees but recognizing the significance? When they saw the little star shining in the sky and recognized its importance, they sought the Savior. You may have seen a church sign that says, "Wise men are still seeking Jesus this Christmas." Now, each of us set a worship goal today to make sure we are actively seeking the Christ of Christmas. The Magi not only sought for the new king, but they found him. Their diligent search and would not quit until they found the newborn king, presented their gifts, and worshiped him. They are our example indeed. As we light the candle of seeking and finding, we may be sure that this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday before Christmas, that we find our Savior and worship him with our best.
Let us continue in our worship by singing hymn number 98, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Let's sing.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us with the opportunity to be able to come into your house and worship you, Lord. Please be with those who are sick and cannot be here today. And please take this offer to further your kingdom. In these things we pray. Amen.
Thank you. I love seeing you all come down during that time. Now, I have a question this morning for you that I have asked before, but I want to ask it again because it's going to help us learn something specific this morning for Christmas. Now, I know everybody's first name, but I don't think I know everybody's middle name or the name you don't always go by. So I'd love for you to tell me what your middle name is that we may not all know. Some of you tell me what your middle name is. What's your middle name? Ryan's your middle name. Your middle name? Reagan. What else? Reed. Olivia. I love this. What else? Michelle. What else? Ann. I love this. What else? Cole. Awesome. Ann. Excellent. Excellent. So I love being able to know your full name. And did you know, actually, I go by my middle name, Matt, but my first name is Thomas. And Thomas means twin. And I don't have a twin, thankfully. But Thomas means twin. There's enough for one of me, right? But everybody's name actually means something. And I thought that was pretty special to learn about. And it's really special when a couple has, or is getting ready to have a child to choose their name. That's how you all have your names, because everybody's name means something. And so I looked up a few different names that some of you have and just some other names in general. Like Eric means ever powerful. Well, that was neat. Hannah means grace of God. Morgan means traveling the sea. Emily means competitor. Michael or Michaela means one who is like God. Elizabeth means God's promise. And Daniel or Danielle means God is my judge. And there's a lot of other names, of course. Everybody's name means something. And I thought that was really special, especially during Christmas, because I want to read one verse in particular. We've been talking about Mary and Joseph getting ready to have a baby. We know that baby is named Jesus, but I want to read about that in Luke chapter 1, okay? And listen to how Mary was told to name her baby she was about to have. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 31, it says, "You'll give birth to a son, and the angel said, you will call him Jesus." So the angel that was talking to Mary went ahead and told Mary what to name her baby. Baby Jesus. And that's really important. And I'm glad that she listened to the angel, because Jesus means the Lord saves. And so this Christmas, as we celebrate Jesus' birth, let's remember how important it is to know what Jesus' name means. Because Jesus saves us when we believe in him. And we know that when we follow Jesus, he's our Lord. That means he's the boss of our life. We follow his teachings and we listen to everything that he tells us in the Bible. And I thought that was really special for us to remember as we celebrate Christmas. And I hope you all have a really Merry Christmas on Thursday morning. I know you're really excited about that. And hopefully, you'll be able to remember what we've talked about this morning and how special Jesus' name really is during Christmas. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for this wonderful time of Christmas. And Lord, thank you for your son, Jesus. We know he saves us. And we know he is the boss of our life, and we follow him, and that's the best way to live. God, show us how to do that this week. Amen.
Luke 2:8-14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Hallelujah. The shepherds came to see the baby, stood by his mother's side. Here lay the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night! Oh, what a glorious night! I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come now, sing it out, Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds wondered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone in sight. All were amazed when they heard how God came down on this glorious night. God came down on this glorious night. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come now, sing it out, Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ is born.
Glorious, glorious, what a glorious night. Glorious, glorious, what a glorious night.
I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come now, sing it out, Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ is born. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come now, sing it out, Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ is born.
All is calm now,
all is quiet, a star shining in the sky.
Below in Bethlehem,
the King is sleeping. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night.
Beautiful offering of praise to our Lord. You know, actually, when we're singing here during worship, we're not singing to each other. We're singing to God. That being said, we're going to sing four carols, first verse of each. If you can sing it without looking at the book, please do. And as you stand, I would like for you to turn and face each other so that you're singing these carols to each other. But first of all, sing them to the Lord. Let's stand as we sing. Everybody face in. Face to the middle.
The first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they
We're going to stay after worship and work on turning the right way. What beautiful carols. And guys, thank you for that. And Hannah and Becca, thank you for that reading. As we pray today, we want to begin with a praise. This Tuesday will be the 64th wedding anniversary. Is that right? 64? Of Hubert and Marguerite Garner. And amen. Today is my wife and mine 36, so when you see her, give her condolences, would you? We would appreciate that. Special times to spend our journey together. Let me invite you to open your bulletin to our prayer concerns and We do want to be remembering the Kendall Stewart family, that is Stella Bridges' father who passed away. Tony is here in worship with us. He's actually back being deacon on call today, and we appreciate him still dealing with some chest pain, but we want to continue to keep him. And then Matt was sharing with me his neighbor, Paul Tinglestad. Is that Tinglestad? Tinglestad is going to have heart surgery this week. That's a neighbor of his. We want to add him to our prayer list as well. We're grateful that Debbie got home from the hospital after finding that her blood was not where it needed to be at all. In fact, dangerously in a bad place. And we're grateful they've been able to reverse that. We want to continue to remember her. And Anthony is home. We want to be continue to remember Anthony in our prayers as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for life's journey. We're grateful for the gift of marriage and the ability to walk together as husband and wife. And Lord, as we pause here on this Sunday before Christmas, we are mindful that there are folks still dealing with difficult circumstances, with difficult situations, with difficult diagnoses. And so, Lord, we lift them to your care, asking that you might give us the ability to minister where there is that place of ministry, that we might share your love as we share our love. And, Lord, we are grateful for that glorious night. We are excited about the presentation of being home for Christmas that our choir shall again share with us this evening as we move ever closer to recognizing that you created us down here to live with you in eternity. And so we celebrate our passage, our way, our key, our hope, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
people said, thank you, choir. Joy. Indeed, that is the message and the hope of Christmas as we celebrate it together. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter. The reason for giving Christmas gifts is tied to this story. One of my favorite short stories is The Gift of the Magi. The Magi, the wise men, those who lived far away, who saw a star, and followed that star to the Savior of the world. The story is remembered, and there have been many young men in bathrobes with aluminum foil crowns that have stood in pageants, reminding us of this story, reminding us of the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, reminding us of worship and praise. And today I want our mind to go to seeking to find Christ. Seeking to find Christ. Seeking diligently. It is amazing. And as we read our text today, you'll find that it is Herod that gives the great evangelistic appeal, that tells the truth, although we know he was not true, that his motive was evil. I was reading a sermon earlier this week, and it said, the one who would have stole Christmas. Herod, who would, in the last part of this chapter, send a death squad to Bethlehem to kill all the children ages 2 and under. And yet his words are still our goal. And the wise men, those who are not Jewish, who were not of the chosen race that Jesus came before the doors were thrown open to whosoever will, they teach us to seek and to find the child of Christmas. Our text is Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read the first 12 verses. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, or magi, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them, where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, and hear his proclamation, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and they worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to seek to find you this Christmas. Not by happen chance, not accidentally, not tacked on after everything else has been accomplished, but help us to seek you. To seek you not only between now and Christmas, but on Christmas Day. And not only on Christmas Day, but as we begin to think of a new year, we might indeed be seekers, seeking you in our decisions, seeking you in our sharing, seeking you in all we do. And when we seek you, O God, you've given us great word that we shall find you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The shepherds saw and told, and Mary treasured and pondered the first day of Christmas. And Joseph, he heard and he did what God instructed him to do. And on this fourth Sunday in Advent, we come to the Magi. All four of the surrounding candles are lit, and there's only one left. And on Christmas Eve, we'll light the Christ candle. We all know about a lost and found. Today I want us to think about sought and found, seeking. That was Jesus' ministry. Remember the story in Luke chapter 19 when Jesus comes and he finds Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree? And he brings him down and he goes to his home and he shares with him. And you remember how Zacchaeus' life has changed? His whole world has changed. And in Luke 19:10, Jesus gives his mission when he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's still the mission of the church. To seek to save those who are lost. Seeking, it's not always easy, is it? Seeking Christ is not always easy. Probably each one of us would like to do a better job, and each one of us probably would like to know how to do a better job. All Christmas can sometimes be a long road, can it? Most of us have experienced going down a road and all of a sudden, now you see those flashing signs. Sometimes in the past, they just slip up on you. Road work ahead. Don't you love that sign? I remember when I lived in the Greensboro, Winston-Salem area, I think it literally was almost 10 years they worked on Highway 40 through Greensboro. And I remember one disc jockey saying that he understood that the sun was going to burn out in about 10 million years. And that meant they'd have to finish 40 in the dark. That's the way he saw it. They're always working on the roads, aren't they? It seems like, you know, I guess if you're one of those persons that's working on that heavy equipment, and you know when the motors come by and they give you that look. Have you ever given anybody that look? Confession's good for the soul. Well, apparently this one guy, and I think he gives us a word for Christmas. He realized that, and so he had a sign made up, and he put it on the front of his heavy equipment and on the back. And the sign said, "The road to happiness is almost always under construction." And it is, isn't it? The road to happiness is always under construction. We never get there. We always have more to do. And seeking Christ is that way. It was a challenging travel for the Magi. And travel wasn't easy in ancient times. My goodness, they probably would love to put up with a motor grader or a road under construction in those days. Most think the Magi probably lived in Persia. Some have said as far away as China. And to make that journey was a commitment of time and resource, energy. Have you ever wondered why the magi would come to see? I mean, how did they know when they saw the star? Have you ever wondered? There's another great lesson there. At least it's a possibility. We got to go all the way back to Daniel. You remember Daniel when he was taken into exile into Babylon? That's Persia. And the very word, go look in Daniel chapter 2. And you'll find that there's a time when Nebuchadnezzar calls all the magicians to interpret a dream for him. And the word magician, the root of that word is magi. And in fact, if you read Daniel 2, you'll see he calls the wise men the magicians and the sorcerers of the kingdom to come and interpret the dream for him. And Daniel, we know, does it. And we know that some were very jealous of Daniel, but some have believed that possibly there were a few that when the Jews were in exile there, heard the message of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And maybe they remembered. And now, years and years, decades, centuries later, these who maybe had that Daniel influence decided to take the trip. If it was men of Persia and they lived in the capital and they traveled to Jerusalem, that's almost 800 miles. That's a long way to travel, especially in ancient times. Oh, it's not always easy to be a follower of Christ, and I believe that we would say and honestly say, it's not easy today to be a follower of Christ, is it? It has its challenges. I was reading and it said, it's not enough to know about Jesus, but we must know Jesus. Here they are, these non-Jewish men who live far away from Bethlehem. Estimates had been that the time of their trip took a minimum of 3 months, and some have said as long as 2 years. And one of those hints is that when Herod did send the death squads, all the children 2 years and under were targeted. They were willing to learn. They were willing to study. They were willing to search. Then they were willing to travel at their own expense a great distance to bring expensive gifts, valuable gifts, we might say their best gifts, to the newborn king. This Christmas, what gift will we give Christ? Oh, maybe it's not under the tree. Maybe it can't be bought at Walmart or put on our Visa card. But what gift will we give him? Surely he deserves a gift at Christmas, doesn't he? I've always said one great opportunity is in our foreign mission giving. That's a wonderful time to give a gift to Christ, to make sure the message is carried throughout the world. I've got the contrast. Here they are living, let's just say they lived in the capital of Persia. We don't know. But let's say 800 miles away. Do you know how far Bethlehem is from Jerusalem? 8 miles. 8 miles. 8 miles. 800 miles. 8 miles. What a difference. And yet the religious leaders of Israel, the scriptures that we just read, said they were greatly troubled. The Magi stopped everything. I love the skit our kids did with the wives of the Magi. I hadn't even thought about the wives of the Magi. But can you imagine going home saying, honey, I'm going to be gone. How long? I don't know. Maybe 4 years. It's going to be a while. To make a journey. To make a pilgrimage. Now, more than likely, their wives went with them, just to tell you the truth, so you won't be worried about that all afternoon. Or maybe not. I don't know. But anyway. But here they were, willing to do everything. And the religious leaders, 8 miles away, were shocked. They were shocked. We might say the people in the church were shocked when Christ showed up. And the folks outside the church were looking for Christ. I believe that folks in America are looking for Christ. They're looking for answers. They're looking for hope. They're looking for a reality. Same event. 800 miles, 8 miles. Coming to worship, coming to kill. What a difference. What a difference. May God help us in 2014, almost 15, not to become complacent. Not to become those who just say we do what we do because we've always done it. But this Christmas, when we rise up to give thanks for the newborn King. To give thanks for life. Oh, not only were they seeking Him, though it wasn't easy, they understood that finding Him was worth the effort. I would simply say never, never ignore the obvious. It's easy to do. I love a story I read about a customs officer who would always observe this man driving up in trucks coming over the border. And the man had a record of being a smuggler. And they just knew he was a smuggler. He had no family across on this side. And the only reason he came, they knew, was for illegal purposes. So this man ordered him to stop his truck, and they began to take it apart. They brought the dogs in. They dismantled the truck. They took parts off. They looked everywhere you could smuggle anything, and they couldn't find it. A single bit of contraband. The truck was clean. A few weeks later, he'd come again, and they'd go through the same ordeal again. They would begin to look, and they knew this time that last time was just a decoy. This time had to be real. And so again, they would disassemble the truck, bring in all the dogs. His equipment would develop through the years. They would bring all kind of x-ray and sonogram, anything they, and never they could find anything. And months turned into years, and periodically, every month or so, he'd show up. And there they'd work on that truck, and they'd look it over, and they just couldn't find anything. Finally, after many years, that one custom officer who had set as his goal to find what this man was doing wrong retired. And he was sitting at a restaurant, and right after he had retired, the man who he knew was a smuggler came into the restaurant, sat down right across from him. He said, "Sir, I want to tell you, I'm retired now. I have no authority. I can't do anything, but I know you're a smuggler. There's no doubt. And I never have been able to figure out how you did it or what you were doing. Can you just tell me? I can't arrest you. You can tell me anything you want to. It doesn't matter. What in the world? How have you been doing? What have you been smuggling all these years?" The man looked at him and said, "Trucks." Don't ignore the obvious. Don't ignore the obvious. Don't dissect all that there is about Christmas. Our calendars sometimes can dissect Christmas. Our desires to bless someone, to maybe strengthen a relationship by giving a gift that maybe we can't even afford. I love that old saying, folks say, don't spend money you don't have on things you don't need. I wonder, finding Christ, it's worth the effort. Christmas is about Christ. Don't look so hard for everything else of what's on the radio, what's on TV, what are the family traditions, how about the meal, how about the journey, that we forget the gift of Christ. The Magi did. Days turned into weeks and weeks into months and possibly months into years, and yet they kept their journey going. Because they realized it was worth the effort, and I tell us today, it really is. Even though there's some obstacles in our way, when we find Christ, Christmas is different. So now in closing this morning, how will we search for Christ? How will we find what the Magi find? What will be our gift? The first thing is we have to realize something's missing. I wonder today if even now in this moment we might ask ourselves, and maybe not even ourselves, maybe we'd ask the Holy Spirit, what's missing? What's missing in me? What do I need to do? What do you need to do in me, O Lord, that would make a difference? It was a tourist bus excursion to a volcanic canyon in Iceland, and a woman was reported missing when she failed to return to the bus. And the bus driver waited an hour before notifying the Iceland authorities, and soon there was a missing person report, and the search began, rescue team showed up, even a helicopter arrived, and about 50 people participated in the search. But the search was called off within about 12 hours when folks realized that the missing woman wasn't really missing at all. She'd actually been on the bus the whole time. She'd even taken part in the search party, looking. What had happened is, they stopped back on the way back from that excursion, and she went into a restroom, freshened up, changed clothes, and came back to the bus. And no one recognized her. I wonder today, do we recognize Christ in the midst? He's not missing, but is he missing? He's here, but do we recognize him? Have we seen him this Christmas? In our culture full of distractions, dysfunction, and deliberate efforts to minimize the importance of Christ at Christmas, we must intentionally seek him. The culture will steal from us the opportunity to focus on the significance of the gift of Christmas if we're not careful. It is a very subtle robbery, but a robbery nonetheless. A woman who found herself making her way in, hands full of packages, doing that last minute Christmas shopping, you could tell that she was stressed out and frustrated, and found herself making her way into a crowded elevator where there was just enough room for her, and really the gifts might not make it. But with effort from everybody taking a deep breath, she got in the elevator. The door closed. Knowing the inconvenience she caused, she said, "Whoever started this Christmas stuff ought to be hung." And a voice from the back of the elevator said, "They've already hung him. They've already hung him. They've already hung." The gift of Christmas. I reminded us that Bethlehem's only 8 miles from Jerusalem. And just outside the walls of Jerusalem is a place called Golgotha, the place of skulls. We know it better by its Greek name, Calvary. And there the Christ of Christmas finished putting the bow on the Christmas gift that God gave us. You see, Christmas is about the beginning. But you remember what Jesus said from the cross, his last words? "It is finished. It's been completed." The gift of Christmas is only completed when Easter is in our heart and in our mind. And we recognize that Christ gave himself up that we might have him. What gift could you give? Some have said that maybe the most important gift wasn't the three that the wise men gave, but the fourth, and you might even call it fifth. We know about the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh and their significance to royalty and how frankincense was used to even anoint dead bodies as part of those spices they use. Great value. but the other gift. Did you see that gift? In fact, that's the gift that you and I need to give right now, and hopefully we have and we are. Maybe you did when the songs were being sung and our choir did a great job. The young men did a fantastic job. It's in verse 11. It says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary's mother. And that last gift they gave, and they fell down. And they worshiped him." The gift of worship. That's what God wants. That's what he wants from us this Christmas. Is to recognize that we love him as much as he loves us. And that we give our best to him as he gave his best to us. This Christmas, wise men, wise women are seeking Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and goodness to us. Thank you for your grace, amazing grace, that changes everything. And now, O God, in this moment, as we will make some choices and some decisions, we pray, O God, that you might be in the midst of our decision making. And may we decide to seek you in new ways. May we decide to worship you in spirit and in truth. Because we know you inhabit the praise of your people. You know every need. You know every decision that needs to be made for you. This morning, if there is a need, may we respond to you as your spirit leads us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 102, The Birthday of a King. This morning, if God has spoken to your heart and you need to make some decision for him, whether public or private, I pray we do that. And may we commit ourselves afresh and anew before we leave the worship center today, that we will seek the Christ of Christmas, that we'll find the Christ of Christmas, and we'll fall down and worship him as we stand together. I know you'll remember tonight at 7 o'clock. Invite your neighbors, invite whosoever will to come, that we will fill this sanctuary up with
folks who will be blessed tonight by the message that our choir will be presenting. Again, it's at 7 o'clock, and then the reception. Ladies, if you could bless our choir, and men, if you could bless our choir with some things we could share with them after in a time of reception, and appreciating them for their hard work, I guess since September, to get ready for us to share tonight. And then I would remind you of our Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock on this Wednesday night, the 24th. It'll be a service of lessons and carols, a very meaningful service, a very short service, and yet one that I think puts us in the right spirit. And then I would encourage all of us, before we open any presents on Sunday morning, to open our Bibles and read the story from Luke's Gospel and from Matthew's Gospel, that we might share in the blessing of the greatest gift of Christmas. For the greatest gift of Christmas has already been given in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all. Would you pray with me? God, would you go with us from this place, that we might go forth seeking you and inviting others to come and diligently search for you and find you and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Serve the Lord.